We appreciate to see this many out this morning to study God's Word. We pray that the things we're about to teach and touch upon will be beneficial to all. And I appreciate the opportunity to be able to speak this morning. Been a while, and hope I don't get too nervous. I know Ken's praying for me too, so I'll pray for him this evening. So, you ever have a statement that one of these days I'm going to do this, one of these days I'm going to do that? Once in a while I make that statement. One of these days I like to go on vacation. Maybe I'd like to go down and see what Texas looks like. Maybe go out to Yellowstone Park. Love to go out there and see that Old Faithful. But one of these days may never come. And Old Faithful might die out before I even get there. So, but I keep saying that. I keep trying to say that, well, one of these days I'll use that vacation. Go someplace and visit and try to enjoy life a little bit. One of these days I intend to. So many of us do that in our everyday life. We have a tendency, and we have all good intentions, to do certain things. But when it comes down to the time and maybe having the ability to do such, maybe something else comes up, stops us or slows it down. We all have that good intention. And every time I turn around, I hear a lot of people say, well, I intend to give up smoking. But how many do? Smoking is a nasty habit that I see individuals sometimes get into. Years ago, I wanted to see what it was like. So I puffed on a couple cigarettes, took two puffs, put it down, said, what is it? No taste, dry, and it's just the smoke got into my eyes, made my eyes water, and I said, forget it. Not worth it. I don't see what people enjoy in smoking. But of course, God's Word is harmful to the body. If you turn with me to 1 Corinthians 16 chapter, verses 19 and 20, states the fact that our body is the temple of God, and we are to protect it. We are to preserve it to best of our ability. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and you are not your own? For ye were bought with Christ, therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. Smoking condemns your body. It destroys it. You get different diseases, emphysema, you get cancer, all type of different type of cancer from the smoke. Asthma. I had an individual tell me down at work when working at Banner. Said when he quit smoking, him and his wife, the asthma of their children greatly decreased. It gave them less health problems. We are to protect our body as much as we can. We are to take care of that body that God has given to us. And we need to make sure that we do try to preserve our body to the best of our ability. And it's not only through smoking, but other things that we could probably bring up. The way we eat, the way we act within our life. We are to glorify God through our bodies. My dad told me years ago that he used to teach an adult, middle-aged class. And high school, I think, at that time, over in Waynesburg. He used to smoke. And as he taught this class, children had a lot of respect for him. And one day, as Dad was up at work behind the A&P, taking his break, puffing on a cigarette, this one young man seen him. Quit coming to church altogether. And Dad went to go visit with this young man. He asked, what's the problem? why aren't you coming to services? He says, well, I seen you puffing on a cigarette, and I had all respect. Never knew you to do such. It destroyed my faith, my belief. It, what you believe in within God's Word, you destroyed all of it by that smoking of that cigarette. And I was very discouraged. That's when my dad decided to lay the cigarette down. He's never smoked all these years. But it showed what effect we have on an individual. Another thing I usually hear people say, well, one of these days I'm going to give up my drinking. Please turn with me to the Proverbs, the 20th chapter. In verse 7, or 20th chapter, verse 1, excuse me. Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging. Whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Also in the 23rd chapter of Proverbs, and beginning with verse 29. Who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contention? Who hath babbling? Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes? They that tarry long at the wine, they that go to seek mixed wine. Look thou not upon the wine. Days, I'm going to give it up. I'm going to straighten up my life. Sometimes one of these days just don't come. Galatians, the 5th chapter, teaches us that we need to stay away from certain things, and drinking is one of them. Beginning at verse 19, now the works of the flesh are manifest, there are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, enmities, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Of the which I tell you before, as I've told you in time past, they that do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Abe Lincoln always said, alcohol has many defenders, but when it comes down to it, it has no defense. You can't defend it. You cannot defend drinking. But you have a lot of people trying to defend it. But actually, when it comes down to it, they got no defense for it. Another thing I hear one of these people say is, one of these days, I'll go to church. How many times, especially maybe during the gospel meeting, we're inviting our neighbors, our friends, what they say? Oh, one of these days, yeah, I'll attend services with you. Yes, I'll go find out what the Church of Christ is all about. Acts the 20th chapter, verse 28, states the fact that church is important. That the fact that Christ died for it. Take heed therefore to yourselves and to all the flocks which have made you the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. Oh yeah, one of these days I'll go to church. Christ died for you. Christ gave up everything so you can be saved. And the only way that you can receive his word is by studying it, receiving it, and contacting yourself, the body, that is trying to do God's will. We need to understand that. The fact that sometimes we fail to realize what Christ done for us. Do you ever really sit back and think about it? Have you actually thought and realized what Christ has done for you? He was in heaven. He was with his Father. He gave it all up to come down and live as one of us. He went through all the suffering and pain and agony at the trial that he went through. He was beaten. He had the robe thrown upon his back. Tore off. Imagine. You know, you get a cut. You put something on it, and when you go to tear it off, it tears that scar, and you start bleeding again. Imagine having a bunch of stripes down your back. Bleeding. Somebody throwing a robe on you, it's drying, then they rip that robe off. Imagine what it'd be like. Christ did that for you. Christ suffered humiliation, spat upon, but never reviled, never threatened. He took it. Died upon that cross. He was nailed upon that cross. Imagine nails going through your hands, through your feet. Not spikes like we know in metal. Then, you're talking about wooden pegs. Imagine. He did this so that you could be saved. And these people have the tendency to believe and say, well, one of these days, I'll come to church with you. At the same time, we have those that the apostle exhorted as Christians not to forsake the assembling themselves together. In Hebrews 10th chapter, verse 25, not forsaking the assembling ourselves together as a matter of some is, but exhorting one another, so much the more as you see the day approaching. One of these days, I'll go to all the services. We've become too busy with many other things. We need to put our priorities straight. Matthew 6th chapter. In verse 33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. All things shall be added unto you. Story is told of a man who said he would go to church when he got all things straightened out. Well, he straightened out. Of course. Laying in a casket. I've talked to individuals. They said, yeah, I'll go to church. Well, they finally get there. But most cases, for the wrong reason. They've died. They're laying there in the casket. You're looking upon that body. Thinking, I wish he made it to services and heard the gospel of Christ. And done something before it's too late. One of these days, I'm going to be more faithful. And some are not nearly as faithful as they could be. James, the 4th chapter. Verse 17. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good, doeth it not, to him it is sin. How many times do you hear people say, yeah, I know what I need to be doing. Yeah, I know I need to be at all services. Yeah, I know I need to be taking more of a part in the congregation. Yeah, I know I should be able to start teaching. Yeah. One of these days is now. One of these days is something that we need to be doing at this time. In John the 15th chapter, verse 4, abide in me and I in you. The branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. Verse 6, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. Men gather them, cast them to the fire, and they are burned. Verse 8, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciple. Each time it tells us we need to be bearing fruit. We need to be adding to God. And we can't do that if we're not faithful to Him. Turn with me to 2 Peter. The second chapter. And let's begin reading at verse 20. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened to them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, the sow is forced to her own wallowing in the mire. That's the way we look to God. When we become a Christian and we're not faithful, we're not being obedient to His will, we're not as faithful as we should be, we left Him. We're unfaithful. We look like a dog that just threw up and we're sitting back and watching him eat it again. Have you ever seen that? Disgusting. Grew up with dogs. Grew up with pets. I think every single one of them done it. It's disgusting. How many times have you seen, grew up on a farm, you wash your pig down so you take it to the show and show it off, and what's the first thing it does when it gets back? Runs right back for that mud puddle. Wallowing. Covered with disgust. And that's the way we look to at God. Sometimes we've just got to the point where we say, well, yeah, I'll be more faithful. But when it comes down to it, we're not. Oh, one of these days I'll be more active in the Lord's work. We sing the song, I want to be a worker for the Lord, but are we? Are we trying to do what God asks us to do? How much do we do in our everyday life for God? Do we take every opportunity we have to teach? In John 15, chapter verse 2, every branch that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. Every branch that beareth fruit, He purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. We ought to be able to bring those outside to God. We also sing the song, there's much to do. Are we doing it? 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, verse 58. Paul is talking to the church of Corinth. Stating the fact that they need to do all they can. Verse 58, the 15th chapter. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. How are we to work? Abounding in the work of the Lord. We ought to be trying to do as much as we can. We ought to be able to worship daily at home. Study our Bible. Pray to God without ceasing. We need to be able to spread God's Word. Every opportunity we have, every friend, every neighbor, every relative, we have the opportunity to teach. We can teach at work. We can show by example that we're faithful to God. We're trying to do God's will. We are different from the world. Are we? Can we? Or are we just one of those that says, well, one of these days, I'm going to be more active, but I can't just right now. Maybe when I get a little older, I can be more involved. I can do more. Like I said, there's a lot of times I say, and I'm just as guilty, one of these days, I'm going to do this and that. Yes, one of these days, I'm going to go on my vacation. Yeah, one of these days, I'm going to do this around the house and improve the looks and work around it. Improve it. Yes, one of these days, I'm going to be able to quit doing some of the things I do that are contrary to God's Word. I'm going to work on it. I'm going to be stronger. I'm going to study more. One of these days, I'm going to pray a little bit more. Do we ever get to that point? I mentioned a lot of times, no matter how much you pray, you will never pray enough to God. You'll never talk enough to Him. We're never thankful for the things we enjoy in our lives. We'll never appreciate what God has done for us. How many times have you heard, well, one of these days I'm going to be baptized? We all know that as Christians that baptism is part of the plan of salvation. Mark 16:16. Galatians 3:27 talks about the fact that it puts us into Christ. We are buried with Him, rose up as a new creature. Sometimes the first gospel sermon that we ever hear commands that baptism is important. Acts 2:38. And that we always hear that they were glad we received the word that we're baptized. Acts 2:41. Peter even talks about baptism in 1 Peter 3:21. How baptism saves individuals. Buried with Him in a watery grave. But how many times have we heard individuals say, yeah, I know. One of these days, I'm going to become a Christian. One of these days, I will be baptized and become a member of His body. How many times have you heard that individual say that? But it never happened. They lost their life before they've done such. And one of these days, I'm going to be restored. I used to make that statement. When I left the church a few years back, yeah, I know better. One of these days, I'm going to come back. One of these days, I'm going to repent of what I've done. One of these days, I heard a song when I was out, and it hit me. The song includes words, I'm going to paraphrase it to some extent. Hell is paid with all good intention. There are plenty of people that's going to be in eternal damnation. Hell had all the good intention of hearing God's Word, becoming obedient to it, doing the right thing. And he talks about in that song how things, certain things he'd never done. He never kicked a dog in his life. He never said anything nasty to his mother and never abused his wife physically and all this. He says, I knew what to do. And I had all good intentions in doing it. But now I'm sitting here in eternal damnation. And there are a lot of people down here with me. All we had good intentions. All we've thought about it. I thought about that. And realized, yeah, I had good intentions too. But there's some place I don't want to be. Even though I thought, well, I've got a few more days, I got a few more years, I'm only in my late 40s, I got plenty of time. A lot of my relatives die when they're in their 80s. I got plenty of time to make it right and come back to God. Don't think that way, please. I read the paper every morning. There's some that are 16, 17, 44. Read one the other day, 44 years old. Now I read some that are 80. In their 90s. They had a good intention. They're going to come to church one day. They're going to be obedient to God's will. They're going to do everything that God wanted them to do. They're laying in that ground. They lost their soul for eternity. There's no way I can imagine and express to you what eternity is. I've heard samples and used it years ago when I first preaching, and I heard Dave use it, Dave Brewer, talk about if you tied a bird to a metal ball, and each time it flew around, its wing would hit this one spot. By the time it would wear it down, that is 1 second of eternity. Or use a thimble. Go out there and try to drain the Atlantic Ocean out with that thimble. And you try to dip out that water as fast as possible. 1 second of eternity. It's everlasting. It goes on. Try to comprehend that if you can. Try to grab a hold of it with your mind. What is eternity? What goes on forever? Never ends. That's why I'm trying to prepare you for this morning. James, the 5th chapter. And this is something we fail to realize a lot of times. And we don't do it very often. James 5th chapter, verse 16. Confess your faults one to another. Pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. You know what we fail to realize? How strong prayer is. Prayer can do a good bit. Our faith, our dependence upon God is expressed within that prayer. And a lot of us say, yeah, we pray to God, but do we actually believe what we pray into? What we pray for? When we pray for those who are sick, do we actually believe that they can be healed of that sickness? That God will be there for them? Confess your faults one to another. Oh, I can't do that. Don't know everything about me. Don't know where my weaknesses are. I don't want anybody to know about them. We are to confess our faults one to another. Pray for one another. Give them the strength they need to overcome their temptations. their weakness. You can't do it on your own. We've got to do it together. This is one thing we fail in the body of Christ. We fail to talk to one another. We fail to support one another as we should. We all got weaknesses. May not be the same as somebody else or a couple other individuals, but we all have weaknesses. It's hard to overcome by yourself. Sometimes we need somebody to be there to talk to lean upon, to help us overcome our problems. Are we there? We do that. That's how we restore one another. It is possible to fall away, you know. Sometimes we get that attitude, well, God will overlook. I'll never leave God. I've heard men say that lots of time. I'll never leave God. Now, a few years down the road, those that used to preach the gospel left. Got discouraged. Caught that temptation. They shouldn't have. Quit altogether. I've known men that taught the gospel for years. Sound men. One day you hear them teaching for a denomination. Because they got discouraged with the brethren, got fed up. Aren't we that way? 2 Peter, the 2nd chapter. In verses 20 through 22, as we just read a few minutes ago, even if they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are entangled therein and overcome. The latter end worse for them than the beginning. You know why? Knowing that you had the opportunity to have God's Word, you was faithful to it one time, you left. You gave it up for the sins you partook in. Not worth it. And that's why I'm pleading with you this morning. Yeah. The road of hell is paved with all good intentions. Yeah, I intend to quit smoking. Yeah, I intend to quit drinking. Yeah, one of these days I'll go to church with you. Yeah, one of these days I'll be more active in God's work. Yeah, one of these days I'll be baptized, become a Christian. I know what to do. There may be one here this morning that has done such. Maybe you're thinking, well, one of these days I'll be restored. I'll come back to God. Will you? One of these days is now. Now is the time to do what's right. Not years from now, not when you think you might have the opportunity. Time is going quick. Down at work yesterday, man put down May 1st on the time card. And I was like, May? Already? Boy, is it going quick. Before long, these green trees are going to be barren. Snow flying around again. I don't like the snow. I like to see the green leaves. But you know what? Before we know it, that's what's going to be taking place. If we live long enough, we'll see it. If we live long enough, if the earth is still here, we may get to see Christ come back. But you may not want to. Because if you're not doing the things that God asked you to do, you're not obedient to His will, you don't want to see Him come. Believe me. Because you got eternal damnation waiting for you. But those who love God, and doing His will, trying to do the best of their ability, instead of having good intention, we're trying to do it. We're doing all we can. We put everything we got into it. We got heaven, a home. I want to ask you, how do you stand before God? What are you going to do? You're going to be obedient to His will, or you're going to lose your soul? Please don't use the good intention. One of these days, I'm going to do this. One of these days may never come for you. Believe it. Think about it. Think long and hard. Do something about it before your soul is lost forever. Eternity. Your soul, your destiny. Do something about it if we stand and sing the song, Invitation.